Just in your prayers this morning. You know, it's been so wonderful that we've had other gifts and other ministers here, and quite often I find myself sharing the time with someone, but as we have the opportunity to take the time this morning, we pray that the Lord would continue to bless us and be with you. You know, I need grace to preach, and you need grace to hear. And so I hope that we have been preparing our hearts to come to the house of the Lord to hear his word. I'm going to take a text from Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to take a minute to turn to that, Philippians chapter 3. I want to deal with something that's fairly familiar as far as scripture. And it's hard to sometimes to jump in the middle of some of these chapters, so I'm going to read you what's on my heart, and then I'll go back and lay the foundation for why Paul would say what he did by the inspiration of the Spirit, obviously. But I'm going to begin reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. And if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And here's my text. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. Okay? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. I suspect that everybody here, there's something in your life that you just rather forget about. There's some things that you just want to leave in the past and maybe bury those memories deep. Hey, well, Paul has somewhat of that idea in mind, but he's also looking ahead toward what's in the future. Hey, now let's get a little foundation here about what Paul was leaving behind. Paul was a good man as far as the Jews' religion was concerned. He went through all the advantages that he had, and he talked about if anybody was going to trust in the flesh, he said, I'm more. In other words, what he's saying is he had more reason to trust in his flesh and his position and where he had been among the Jews' religion. He had more reason to trust in the flesh than anybody. Okay? The tribe that he was born in, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law, blameless. There was all kinds of things that Paul said were advantages to him in the Jews' religion. But while he was practicing that Jews' religion, God struck him down on the road to Damascus. God called him and blessed him tremendously and called him to be the minister to the Gentiles. Okay? So those things, so God called him and changed his life. So what I want you to see here is that even though this man, Saul of Tarsus, was going about doing what he thought was God's will, God struck him down. And God began to instruct him in the Lord Jesus. See, Paul was going about trying to destroy the church in the name of religion. Okay? So, and I'm so satisfied from my years of study of the scriptures that when Paul mentions over in 2 Corinthians about that thorn in the flesh that he had, and he begged the Lord three times to remove that thorn, I'm satisfied in my own mind at least, was the thorn was the way he had persecuted the church and how he remembered all of the pain, the suffering that he caused to others. And now he's preaching the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us from our sins. I mean, Paul was the one that was consenting into the stoning of Stephen. And if you read those scriptures about Stephen's defense there in the early part of the book of Acts, you'll find this man was full of the Holy Ghost. He was an able minister of the gospel, and the Saul of Tarsus was consenting unto the stoning of this man. And so all those families, he had letters of authority as he went to Damascus to bind people and cast them into prison. Paul said all of those things. Those things, he said, I don't have any confidence. You know, when he was in those things, he had a lot of confidence in himself, in the flesh. He had advantages. He had abilities. He had all of those things that were an asset to him in the Jews' religion. But he said he came to the place where he realized that he counted all those things but loss, that he might win Christ. He counted all of those things loss, that he might win Christ. And that word win there is used in the sense of gain. He's counting some things loss so that he can win Christ. And he had to forget those things. He had to leave those things behind. He had to turn loose of those things. Do you get my point? See, Paul's not preaching this to other preachers. He's preaching this to the church at Philippi. He's telling the members of the church at Philippi, there's some things that we need to turn away from. There's some things that we need to turn loose of if we're going to gain fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus himself say you can't serve two masters? And the meaning of that expression is, I think it's Robertson's word pictures. He made the statement about, you know, it's like you can just as easily walk in two directions at the same time as you could try to serve two masters at the same time. You just can't do it. You're going to love one and hate the other. You just can't do it. And so Paul is saying there's some things he had to leave behind. And all those things were great advantages to him in the past. And he had a lot of confidence in the flesh. But he said those things that were gained to him, he counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, we are here today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to worship him as we should, we have to turn loose of the world. There's some things that we've still got a grip on that we need to turn loose of so that we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the conditions of discipleship that Jesus laid down when he said, if any man will come after me, which the meaning there is if any man will be like me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, used to be, there were some things that I really wanted to accomplish in this world. There were some things I wanted to pursue. But then the Lord called me to the ministry. And I realized that if I'm going to follow the Lord, those other things were not going to be on the schedule. And if we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things about our life that we need to lay down. We need to turn loose of. as far as the life that we lived before we came to a knowledge of the truth, before the Lord revealed himself to us, before we felt the leadership of his Holy Spirit, there are things that we need to lay down and turn loose of if we're going to follow him like we should. Now, I'm not talking about just sitting around all day and praying and being holy and not doing anything in this world. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go about our day and perform the duties that we have before us in a way that shows forth the love of God. We can be patient and kind to other people. We can be compassionate for the needs of those around about us. We can go about our job and our whatever, if we're talking about people that we work with. If we're talking, if we're in our retail environment and we've got customers all day long, whatever the case might be, if you're just talking about companions, you can go about your day walking in the love of God and being patient with one another and kind and tenderhearted and being a forgiving person when things maybe ruffle your feathers a little bit. There's a way that we are to live in this world as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be any reason for anybody to question whether or not we're a Christian. You don't have to tell them the words, just live it before them. All right? So when Paul was speaking about, there were some things that he had to leave behind, and then he was pressing forward, what does he say? He says, forgetting those things which are behind. By the way, in the original Greek language, now the English is fine. The English is sufficient. But it's just interesting that in the original language that the scriptures were written, in the Greek, this expression, those things which are behind, is one Greek word. One Greek word. Those things which are behind. All right? It's a concept. All right? And there's one word that talks about those things which are behind. But then he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, guess what? Those things which are before is one Greek word. It's a concept. It's a thought. So forgetting this and reaching forth, or forgetting that, reaching forth to this. All right? That's the way we should be living our life as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do, we should evaluate. Is this pleasing to the Lord? Now, you know, this brain that God's given us, it's an amazing thing. As a matter of fact, this whole body is fearfully and wonderfully made. But you can make hundreds, if not thousands, of decisions with this brain in a very, very, very short amount of time. So I'm not talking about you got to sit down and do some evaluation and analysis. I'm just saying that when we do something, when we choose to go a certain direction, when we choose to do something in this world, it ought to flash through our mind, is this pleasing to the Lord? It should be. If we're going to do it, it should be. Because if you want to pray that God would give you the energy and the strength and the wisdom to do it in a way that's pleasing in his sight, it needs to be something that's acceptable to him, right? I mean, that's just basic, but we sometimes don't stop to think about that, all right? So, Paul said, now by the way, when he said, brethren, I count not my, let's go back to verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul didn't think that whatever he was doing was going to save him eternally. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about, attain, that word attain there, means to arrive at. So what Paul is saying is, all this that we've been talking about, this reaching, this forgetting what's behind and reaching forth, he wants to continue to do that every day in a way that's pleasing to the Lord until he gets to the end of the way. Whether it's when they... when he was executed in Rome, he didn't know for sure. I don't know if he knew for sure just what was going to happen to him when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. But his desire was to be faithful to God all the way to the point that his life had come to an end. He wanted to be a faithful servant of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thought for all of us? To want to be faithful to God. You know, the idea of hearing those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we have that desire that every day we live, when we get up in the morning, have the presence of mind to say, "Lord, I want to do that which is pleasing to you today." And then as we go through our day, we continue to take the Lord with us as we go. Whatever we're doing it in a way that's pleasing in his sight. We're asking him for the strength. We're asking him for the wisdom. And there are honorable pursuits. You know, when we go about doing our work each day, he will bless us to do those things. And we should try to do them in a way that's pleasing in his sight. All the way through our life. Every day. Remember he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Right? I quoted Matthew. If you quote Luke on that, which is another account of the same idea, Luke says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Wow. There's the idea of attaining. There's the idea of being faithful to God every day for as long as we live, until we get to that point. And you know from the record of Scripture in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul was faithful right up to the end. He was in prison, and they beheaded the Apostle Paul for preaching the gospel. Bless your hearts, he said, "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm now ready to be offered up. And the time of my departure is at hand." He knew his exodus was right there. God had blessed him to know that he was, and what did he say? He kept the faith. He had attained. Now, we haven't experienced the resurrection yet, but he, as long as he lived upon the face of this earth, he was faithful to God, and he had attained up until that time when his work was over. And the Lord took him home. And as soon, you know, I like what Elder R.A. Tyndall from used to live out at Amarillo, Texas. He's been gone now. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But he had read a lot of the history about the Apostle Paul and how that he was beheaded. And Brother Tyndall used to say when that blade of that guillotine came down and chopped his head off, before his head hit the ground, he was already in spirit beholding his Lord. Because that's what happens. When we breathe out our last here, we immediately awake in the presence of our God. And so Paul said he wanted to be faithful to God every day up until the time that he breathed out his last. And that ought to be our desire as well. So he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. Now, what he's talking about in those verses ahead of that is he counted those things of the past loss that he might win Christ, that he might gain. And what he's talking about is, like Jesus had said earlier in the accounts of the gospel, that we're to press into the kingdom. Why is it that we have to press into the kingdom? Because we've got this old flesh nature about us that we've got to deny. We've got to put away the things of the flesh and follow after the Spirit. And so Paul said he counted those things lost that he might win Christ. He went on to say that I might know him. Well, Paul knew the Lord, didn't he? Sure he did. But he wanted to continue to know him better, which means having fellowship with the Lord as we go through life. You know what a blessing it is when times are hard, whether it's physical struggles, whether it's problems in our homes or problems in our job or whatever the case might be, when we're going through a tough time, isn't it a tremendous blessing that we can feel the Lord's presence with us? that he's right there with us, that he's strengthening us, that he's helping us in whatever we need, because he surely will. He certainly will bless us in those things that we need, especially when we're walking close to him and looking to him for the wisdom and the strength that we need for our day. God has promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now listen, we live in a fallen world, and bad things do happen to good people. And so there's things that we have to deal with. But the Lord says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if we have to go through some of those bad times, he's right there with us. The Apostle James would tell us, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. Isn't that a great promise? That when we turn to the Lord and when we ask for his help, he's there for us. All right? If we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. So when we're thinking about forgetting those things which are behind, and I don't want to say too much to cause you to think about some of those things you want to forget about. That's counterproductive, isn't it? All right? But we all have those things that we want to leave behind. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to serve the Lord. So he said, in reaching forth to those things, unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What is that? What does that look like? If we're going to press toward the mark, what does that look like? You know, it's easy to say, but sometimes those thoughts just don't make their way into our understanding so that we can apply them. Because listen, when we apply this, when this pressing toward the mark is where praise to God and glory to God comes from. When we're pressing toward the mark, okay? When we're doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. All right, so to press toward the mark, that's an athletic term for the kind of reminding us of the games, the ancient games that they used to have when runners would run in the race and they'd have their eye on the prize. They'd have their eye on the finish line. Okay. The point is, if we're going to run our race in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, we need to be looking to him. We need to be looking to the finish line. We need to be reminding ourselves, whatever it is that we have to do in between, we want it to be that which will be pleasing to him when we get there. All right? So if we're going to be blessed, you know, I quoted to you from 2 Timothy a while ago when Paul said, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, I'm now ready to be offered up. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not a crown of gold, but a crown of righteousness. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not another. He's the one that will reward us at that time. He's the one who can do that. He's the one that we've been looking to follow him all along the way. He's that. What I just quoted to you is out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is. So when we're thinking about this pressing toward the mark, okay? Pressing toward the mark. As I said a moment ago, that's when God gets the glory. When we're running this race like we should. Now, this pressing toward the mark and keeping our eye on the for the prize of the high calling, that's a very similar language to what you'll find over in Hebrews chapter 12. Because Hebrews 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't that kind of the same thought that he's given back here in Philippians chapter 3? Running a race with patience. Run the race that is set before us with patience. Looking unto Jesus. It's a very similar passage. and I really hadn't put the two together until just recently when I was studying this. But he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Who, for the joy that was set before him, I'm quoting Hebrews 12 now, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was a joy set before the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, everything that he did in the will of God, the Father. Everything he did, he said, I do always those things that please him. He also said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. All right, so I'm not going to say he had a goal set before him, but he was fulfilling the purpose because he had the power to accomplish it. All right, we set goals. We try to accomplish things. The Lord Jesus Christ just methodically went through the Father's will and did what the Father sent him to do. All right? But there was a joy set before him. That joy was for the Lord Jesus Christ is when he had suffered the will of God that he would rise again and he would be received back into glory and he would enjoy the glory with the Father that he had before the world was. That was the joy that was set before him. But this time, when he went back to heaven, he was also going to be awaiting the time when all that he had died for would be gathered up and taken home to be with him. Now we're still waiting for that, okay? Those souls and spirits of those that have departed this life, they're already with him in spirit, but he's coming back. And what he's coming back to do is to raise us and fashion us like unto his glorious body and take us home to be with him. And so as he went about with all the suffering that he had to endure to save us from our sins, there was a joy that was set before him. Well, we can have a joy set before us as we run our race with patience. Because we can look forward to the time that we can be with the Lord. We can look forward to the time that we'll be with the redeemed family. Everybody here has somebody that has passed the scene of this life, and right now they're in heaven in spirit. And won't that be a glorious reunion the day that we'll be able to go home to the Lord and be with all the redeemed family of God? Won't that be a glorious time? So we've got that joy set before us. But I'm going to tell you something. Every day we live, as we walk in the light of the Lord, as we do those things which are pleasing in his sight, we can enjoy the fellowship of our God each day, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. All right? So he says that we should be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So how do we press forward? How do we do those things? Well, I've already said a whole lot about that. But as we go about our day, do that which is pleasing in his sight. Enjoy fellowship with the Lord as we press toward the mark. Look for opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else. Do you know that gives us some of the greatest joys in this life is that we can help somebody else? When we can be a help to somebody else? You know, years ago, I had a cousin that had been in the ministry a lot longer than I, and I asked him a question one time. I said, what is it going to take to bring this country back together? I figured, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, well, if we had a financial collapse, And we got back to like it was during the Depression, that maybe folks would join together and be like-minded. And he said, no, I don't think that would do it. Because things are a lot different now than they were. If we had a Depression now, not too many folks know how to plant a garden and work a garden and get by with those kinds of things. Okay? So as we think about, how is it that we're blessed. We think about how we're blessed. My cousin told me, he said, probably it's going to have to take something like World War II, where everybody had a common enemy, And everybody was working together in the war effort against this common enemy. That really brought people together. Okay? I'm not waiting for a war to start for that to happen. Don't we as God's people have a common enemy today? Don't we as God's people have one that's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour? He wants to tear up our lives. He wants to tear up our families. He wants to tear up our nation. He wants to tear up our churches. Don't we have a common enemy today? And don't we have the greatest help that we could ever think of against him? We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got the Word of God, and we're to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, which Philippians goes into in great detail. We're to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. We're to put on the armor of God, as spoken of over in Ephesians chapter 6. God has given us instruction to help us in this warfare that we already have, that all of God's people have this common enemy. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan can work on you at the same time he's working on a million other people. All right? But oftentimes, I guess he's got willing accomplices because there's so many that's not willing to turn loose of the fleshly things of this world. So the warfare is complicated. The warfare is on multiple fronts. Okay? We've got this old flesh nature that we have to contend with. We've got the world at large that in a lot of respects doesn't care anything for God and would try to draw us into whatever they're doing. And we got the devil himself going about seeking whom he may devour. Now that's 1 Peter 5 7 or 8 where he talks about your adversary the devil is a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. As God's people, there's another verse of scripture we need to pair with that. When we realize that we've got an adversary as a roaring lion, all right, he's a formidable foe. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. We've got an Old Testament scripture that's just as valid today. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. He says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. When we're running our race, when we've got our eyes on the prize, when we're trying to do it in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, we've got the help of the Lord that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. When we're running this race like we should, when we're forgetting those things behind, which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are ahead, bless your hearts, God is right there with us. The Lord Jesus is there to help us in whatever we need. I'm not telling you, you're not going to have problems. I'm not telling you, it's not going to be a struggle sometimes, but you will have the Lord with you. And so if you know, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. All right? So if we know we're going to face troubles, would you rather face it without the Lord or with the Lord? The choice is yours. And a lot of people make the wrong choice. All right? I'm not talking about your eternal salvation. I'm talking about day-to-day salvation. I'm talking about saving ourselves from this untoward generation. I'm talking about practicing the things, the principles of God that he teaches us that are for our good. And when we do those things, we enjoy those things because it's for our good. But when we turn away, we try to have confidence in the flesh. We try to do our own thing. It ain't going to work as well. It just won't. And you've probably seen countless examples in your life of folks who tried it and it didn't work. And I'll go farther than that. There's probably some folks here today who have tried it. I'll go farther than that. I know there's some folks here because I'm here. We've tried our own way and it didn't work out. God's way is always the best because he has all wisdom, all knowledge. He declares, Isaiah 46:9-10 tells us that he declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now that's not telling us that he has predestinated everything that ever happens. No. God hasn't done that. As a matter of fact, that you can't charge God with sin. You can't charge God with, I was just doing the will of God and it didn't turn out. No. There are some things that God has purposed to do and he is doing and will continue to do. And there are times when God intervenes in the lives of people to bring his purposes to pass. Do you remember when Pharaoh tried to put all the male babies to death back in Egypt? God intervened. God made a way for Moses to be saved. Okay. How about when Herod tried to put all the babies 2 years old and younger to death when Jesus was born? God intervened. God made a way because he was going to bring his purposes to pass. Okay. But he says he's declared the end from the beginning. In other words, he's going to send his son to this world. He's going to save them from their sins. We're going to be with him in glory. And nothing is going to stand in the way of that. Because Romans 8 concludes by saying that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God has purposed some things. But there's a whole lot of things going on in this world today that are not pleasing to God. He didn't purpose those things. He didn't ordain them. He didn't predestinate them. It's just men going the wrong way. When I say men, it includes the women too. That generic name for women, men. All right, mankind. You know, and if anybody questions that, I know that there's some folks that go by the name Primitive Baptist. There's a few of those churches still left around in different places. They embrace an absolute predestination of all things. That's not what this book says. Okay? And to refute that idea, you can go to Jeremiah, and I believe it's Jeremiah 7 and Jeremiah 19. There's two places in the book of Jeremiah where God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says that the children of Israel were doing things. In one place, he says it never entered into his mind for them to do it. The other place, it says it never entered into his heart for them to do it. So if there were things that God's people were doing, but it never entered into his mind, nor it ever entered into his heart, then he didn't predestinate it. He didn't ordain for those things to be. That was people going the wrong way, making the wrong decisions. All right? But we're to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so if we can live our day walking in fellowship with him, seeking his wisdom. You know, Proverbs tells us to lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. So do you want the Lord directing your path, or do you want to go on your own? I want the Lord directing mine. So I'm not going to lean to my understanding. In all my ways, I want to acknowledge the Lord so that he shall direct my path. That's what it means to press toward the mark, to run that race with patience. I'm mixing both Hebrews 12 and Philippians 3, but you get the idea. Paul often used, and that's part of the, and by the way, that's one of the reasons why I feel like the Apostle Paul was the one that was inspired to write the book of Hebrews. That's a great debate among theologians, but it satisfies my heart. I'm not saying that's the end all, but I'm just saying that there's similarities in the way that Paul expressed himself in other places that shows up in the book of Hebrews. And so when we run this race with patience, when we're pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God, bless your hearts, what we're doing is intentionally and planning to be walking with God. To be living according to His Word. Of course, when we start talking about that, we have to realize that we need to know what the Word says, which means we need to be reading it, right? Or hearing it. Whatever the case might be, this is what we need to equip us to run this race, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So I'll let you decide. Think about how much time you've invested in reading this word. You don't have to tell me. Just think about it yourself. How much time have you invested in reading this word? That'll tell you how much you've equipped yourself to press toward this mark. That'll tell you how acquainted you might be in the things that would please the Lord. Now, thankfully, God's people have something else at work, and that's the Holy Spirit. When Paul would tell us in Philippians 2, verse 12, when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he's not talking about eternal salvation. He's talking about that concentration, that attention that we need to give to our daily walk. Work it out, okay? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if we're doing those things which are His will and His good pleasure, that's when we're following the Holy Spirit that works in us. Now, every born-again child of God has the Spirit within them. Some are listening to it much more than others. Some are trying to ignore it. And if you ignore the leadership of the Spirit, you're casting away some of the greatest help we have in trying to press toward this mark. Because if you're considering something and you're troubled in your spirit, that's the Spirit telling you that's not God's will. That's not pleasing to God. But if you're considering something and you're praying about it and you feel a lot of energy and freedom and fellowship with the Lord and pursuing that direction, that's the Holy Spirit within you guiding you into the truth, into that way which is pleasing to the Lord. All right? Sometimes God's people don't bother to listen to the leadership of the Spirit. But you know, you better listen if you feel troubled about something, but you, in your mind and in your flesh, you really want to do that, but the Spirit's troubling you about it, you better watch out. Sad to say, some folks go ahead and follow the flesh instead of the Spirit, and they have to learn from the consequences. But God is good. God is merciful. God is kind and gracious. He allows us to come to Him, confess our sins. Because 1 John 1 and 9 tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we have to confess some things, and we need to go to God and confess those things and get cleaned up so that we can get up and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. May God bless you, is our prayer.